from KQED.
Most new parents hover anxiously over their little ones. The world seems like such a big, dangerous place for a baby. But sometimes the threat comes from inside, from the genes. Spinal muscular atrophy, or SMA, is the most common genetic killer of infants and young children worldwide. It's a hereditary disease that destroys the nerves that control voluntary muscle movement. Diane Bach brings us this profile of a family in Santa Barbara.
Bill and Victoria Strong are in their early 30s. Gwendolyn, their first and only child, is almost three. She was diagnosed with SMA when she was 6 months old. Victoria Strong.
Spinal muscular atrophy is kind of a mouthful. Nobody's ever heard of it. And even when you tell them the statistics, oftentimes I think people don't believe it because they've never heard of it.
Initially, most babies born with SMA appear healthy. Symptoms, such as floppy limbs and difficulty feeding, develop within the first few months of life. Babies with SMA are unable to roll over, sit, crawl, or even swallow. Most die from respiratory complications before their second birthday. Gwendolyn is just waking up from her afternoon nap. She's lying on her side, holding her doll.
Do you need some suction?
Gwendolyn has strawberry blonde hair and wide blue eyes that take in everything and everyone around her. She requires frequent suctioning to keep her airway clear.
Is that better? Oh, good.
A small mask on her nose attaches to a BiPAP machine, which forces air into Gwendolyn's lungs. Her father, Bill, explains.
So that's probably the most critical machine that we have. Without it, she would, and this is just being honest, she probably would last less than 10 or 15 minutes alive.
Each year, 1 in 10,000 babies is born with spinal muscular atrophy, which is classified into four types. Gwendolyn has type 1, the most common as well as the most lethal form.
She was struggling to breathe. She was struggling to eat. And so we knew we needed to get her some help right away. So we actually went up to Stanford or Lucile Packard Children's Hospital, which, as luck would have it, has several SMA experts.
At Stanford, the Strongs were given a plan of care to improve and extend Gwendolyn's life. Besides her breathing treatments, Gwendolyn also has daily physical therapy sessions. She uses a feeding machine and a pulse oximeter alarms whenever her heart rate or oxygen levels drop. An oxygen tank is always close at hand.
Any SMA child needs to be watched 24/7. You can't take your eyes off them because she literally has stopped breathing and turned blue and lifeless. And somehow we've been able to do treatments on her and get her back to life, get her breathing again. It's, you know, by no means a normal way of living, but you kind of learn how to live through it.
It would be impossible for the Strongs to maintain this level of round-the-clock care on their own. Each night, a nurse comes in and helps care for Gwendolyn. The costs of this care are enormous, hundreds of thousands of dollars each year. Federal, state, and local programs supplement the Strongs' private insurance, leaving them with out-of-pocket expenses of $20,000 to $30,000. And, as Gwendolyn has gotten older, the Strongs have had to face new challenges with the disease.
It doesn't impact the cognitive function in any way. So as she learns more clearly what she wants, she's no longer able to do what she wants. There's no therapist to help us with that. There's no kind of emotional guide your child through degenerative disease handbook. Inherently, we have to really push ourselves.
And last summer, the Strongs did just that. They took a cross-country road trip, traveling in an RV covered with signs for SMA advocacy groups, including their own. The Gwendolyn Strong Foundation began with an online petition in support of the SMA Treatment Acceleration Act. The bill, co-sponsored by Senator Dianne Feinstein, would enhance federal support for SMA research. In less than a year, the Gwendolyn Strong Foundation has raised close to $500,000 to fund research. Some of the most promising studies are in the field of gene therapy.
You know, our daughter fights for every breath that she's ever taken, really, at this point. And for us, this is what we can be doing. We can raise awareness of the disease, and we can raise funding and motivate ourselves and motivate others to get involved. And while neither of us really believes that our efforts will save Gwendolyn. Regardless, this is what we can do to be fighting alongside Gwendolyn and others who have been impacted by the disease.
On October 4th, the Strongs, along with friends, family, and supporters from across the country, will celebrate a day they never thought they would see, Gwendolyn's third birthday. For the California Report, I'm Diane Bach in Santa Barbara.